Welcome to Pirate Radio After Dark. I'm Josh, the Radio Pirate. This is episode number 5. Thank you for being patient while I got this one on. Just had some trouble figuring out schedules to get Darren on. But as I promised, Darren Miller, formerly of CKY, currently of 96 Bitter Beings, as well as Foreign Objects and a bunch of other great things over the years. Sat down with him last night via phone and chatted with him, and I'm going to bring that to you in just a minute. Couple housekeeping things, as usual. Please follow the show on social media so you can stay up to date. That's going to be your best way of knowing when new stuff's coming out. We got a bunch in the works, which I'll talk about in a second. If you're on Instagram, it is at Pirate Radio LV. That is our Instagram handle. Again, that's at Pirate Radio LV. On Facebook, just search for Pirate Radio 610. Again, that's Pirate Radio 610 on Facebook. And we are now on Twitter. I have made my first post in all these years of doing radio and all this stuff. I have avoided Twitter like the plague, but I broke down and got it for the show. So our Twitter handle is at Pirate Radio AD. Again, that's at Pirate Radio AD on Twitter. So please add us on there. That's what we got for that stuff. You know, whatever format you're listening on, whether it's iTunes, Anchor, Google Plus, any of the places you're listening to your podcast, please subscribe, and another way to keep up to date, and you know, it just helps out the show in general. So if you're a new listener, I welcome you. If you're an old listener of the last 3 months, because we've been on for about 3 months, welcome back. And a little quick background, I've been doing radio for 15 years in the Allentown, Pennsylvania area, and we just started the podcast about 3 months ago. So it's the sister show to our show, and really enjoying it so far. We've had really good feedback. And if you haven't done so already, please check out our previous 4 episodes. One of them that was released a month ago was with Riley Cote. He talks about CBD, cannabis, and just natural healing for athletes and just the regular people. If you don't know who Riley is, he's a former Philadelphia Flyer and Philadelphia Phantom, and then was the coach of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms the first couple of years here. So it was a really good podcast. I really recommend checking that out. And then the first one we put on here was with Skylar from He Is Legend, which I'm very stoked on that. They're one of my favorite bands ever. So please check out those as well. You know, I've been thinking a lot about what direction to take this podcast. And it's a challenge because there's so many things I'm passionate about. And that's really what this whole podcast is about. It's, you know, kind of obviously the radio show I do on WXLV and iHeartRadio is geared towards music. And obviously there's going to be a lot of music coverage here. You know, we're going to keep the music kind of on the radio show and the talk more on here, clearly. But I don't know, I've been thinking a lot, and I think I just want to gear the things I'm passionate around mental health. And you'll see that tonight in the interview with Darren. And we talk about that a lot throughout the interview. And it's something that's been so prevalent, and anyone that's in the public eye or just anyone in general, you can't escape it these days. The world's stressful. We all go through this shit, and I just personally don't want people to feel alone. I've had my own demons. I work in the field now. I'm a therapist, and it's just, for me, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've conquered the stigma. I think there's less people embarrassed about it. And I think more of society is aware that this stuff happens to everyone at some point in one way, shape, or another. And for me, it's just now share the stories. The stories are what help people. The stories are what helped me 10 years ago when I was going through my stuff. And, you know, I got a lot more out of talking to other people in groups and people that have been there, and their advice and their inspiration, than talking to doctors and all that stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. There's a time and a place for everything. But for me personally, you know, there was nothing more beneficial than talking to someone that's actually gone through this stuff and inspiring. You know, Darren tonight on the podcast is going to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what it's like to be in a band. And, you know, if you're new to being in a band and especially new to touring, what that's like and all that stuff. Plus we talk music and all kinds of other good stuff too, because I don't want to be a downer on all this, but I think it's important. That's going to kind of be my spin for now as we figure this out. I got my radio show down to a science after 15 years. The podcasting thing, you know, this is going to be an experiment, and I want feedback from you guys. So again, if you follow us on social media, give us feedback. Where do you want us to take this? I got a bunch of interviews coming up in the next couple of months, which I'm stoked on. We're going to be talking to I Hate God on this show. We're going to be talking to Murder by Death, Silver Snakes, and a couple others. But those are the most recent ones that'll be coming up on here, and plus a bunch of other content. So yeah, I'm excited. I think I'm going to bring out some of the archive stuff from the radio show too, when we had live sessions with bands. I'm going to start putting that on here. I'm going to try to get down to stuff per week. Life has just been so busy. Planning a wedding right now, coaching a sled hockey team for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, plus work, plus all the other obligations I have in life. And again, that's not complaining. It's just time is very valuable, and you learn that the older you get, and there's less and less of it, and you can't buy more of it. But yeah, I'm stoked on life. I got a lot of cool things going on right now, and this podcast being one of them. So I appreciate you guys being patient as I get out the new episodes. But that's really that. Another thing too, I'll just, I don't know. Let's just get into it. I've talked enough. So last night, March 27th, 2019, I got to talk to Darren Miller. And that is what I'm going to bring you now. So check it out, Darren Miller. Thank you very, very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. As I say in the interview, I grew up on CKY. It probably shaped the asshole teen I was, but that was good because kids need an outlet. And to me at the time in 1999, there was nothing better than CKY, Jackass, CKY the band, CKY the film, all that stuff. That was my freaking life. You know, it was Friday nights, we'd go out and just be ridiculous and film stuff and listen to CKY the band. And I don't know, that was life in 1999 in Pennsylvania for a lot of people throughout the world. I'm just very stoked to bring this to you, and I appreciate you guys being patient. And again, thank you so much, Darren. You're a really rad guy, and I'm happy to hear you're doing well. And you know, you're being wise enough to break relationships that aren't worth your time. And I think that's awesome. That's hard for anyone to do. So again, thank you. And I bring you Darren Miller of CKY, 96 Bitter Beings, and right here on Pirate Radio After Dark. So here we go. Thank you. All right, guys, we're here live with Darren Miller of 96 Bitter Beings. And hello. Thank you, Darren, for giving us some time this evening to join us on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it, too. I thank you for having me on.
Awesome. So just to kind of give you a little background just on the show, so you know what you're doing. I've been doing a radio show up here in Allentown, which I know you're from the area. For 15
we
years.
We used to play, what was it? And the Gator?
Croc Rock.
I knew it had something to do with alligators or crocodiles.
Croc Rock. they actually demolished it last year and built a high rise for fancy apartments and lofts and stuff. So that's no longer there.
Oh, another one bites the dust.
Absolutely. I really hated the club owners, but it was really nice and convenient because it was right there. But, I definitely lost a piece of music history in Allentown.
Mm-hmm. Where is everybody playing now?
Everyone's playing now in Easton. The same people that were promoting at Croc Rock opened a place called One Center Square.
And how far is it from Croc Rock?
About 25 minutes, I'd say. It's kind of been where all the bands that traditionally would have played at Croc Rock have been going.
We'll have to look it up. Trying to get a tour set up.
Absolutely. And if you need anything, I can put you in contact with those people. But we'd love to have you out here. It would be great to see you guys on the East Coast.
Yeah, I haven't been on the East Coast in a long time. My parents left Philly, and I don't really have any reason to go back there. So, I used to go back and visit. Usually on a day off from tour, I'd go visit my family and some old friends.
And when did you actually leave the area?
When did I leave, from living in Philadelphia?
Yeah, yeah.
April 2001.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so. I was trying to. It's amazing how you get older and timelines just kind of blur. Because I've been listening. I was listening to CKY back in '99 already when I was in high school. So. Kind of grew up with the Darren.
Feels like yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's very weird.
20 years. Yeah, 20 years.
So
the band's actually 22 years old. I mean, or 23 years old. I can't believe that. That's insane.
Crazy to think that.
I know.
It's really just wild.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, you know, connected over your current new band, 96 Bitter Beings. You know, for the listeners that don't know, do you want to kind of just bring them up to speed on what you're doing with that?
Well, basically, it's just the sound that I created when I was in CKY, you know, just my style, brought over to a new band with really good musicians, really dedicated, younger, just a much better social environment and much better attitude towards things. Like, I mean, I used to have such a bad attitude about everything, and I think that I wouldn't change anything. I had no regrets, but I think that some of the attitude problems that all of us had just stifled what we could have been. So taking that into concern, yeah, I'm going for a second wind here, you know, and I still have the passion and I still have the energy and I still, you know, it's just a different thing. You know, guys live near me instead of all the way on the other side of the country, and it's just much more fun.
That's great. I mean, like I said, you know, I've kind of been listening to the Darren Miller sound, whatever incarnation that is, since, you know, 99, and it's something I just always gravitate to, because everything you've done has been so different than what anyone else has ever done in, you know, any genre that you've kind of explored or dabbled in. And, you know, it's good to have you back, and I'm happy to hear you're feeling good about it and feeling positive, because, I mean, you know, as we all know, a band is a family, and you put a lot of time into it, and just like families, you know, you can get just as frustrated with the people you're working with.
Right.
So, you know, I'm
know.
Really happy to hear you're in a good space with that. You know, that's only going to help bring out, you know, some positive music and stuff.
Yeah, we're really confident. We're really confident, and we're really pleased with the reception, and we're just working on getting, you know, new people, you know, turning more heads, you know, getting more people to listen to what we're doing. And it's a really hard time for rock and metal right now. It's just totally being eaten alive. It has no real media promotion. It doesn't have like grand, you know, it doesn't have like a grand promotion or campaign behind it. It's just something that the commercial industry has just kind of like forgot about, but it's not the kind of music that should be forgotten about. I think that it's the kind of music that a lot of kids don't know about, that they could be listening to instead of listening to what they're forced to listen to. I think that, you know, teenage guys and even the girls, they need an outlet for their anger and their frustrations, and I think they do the wrong things, you know, to self-medicate to get rid of those feelings, when they should be going to concerts and listening to music and, you know, enjoying the stuff that's more aggressive, that has more of an edge. So I'm not just working to get our band bigger. I'm trying to get all rock and metal bands more, you know, relevant and exposed, you know, more than they are.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with that, man. I mean, I don't know where I'd be had I not had rock and roll and, you know, growing up on punk rock and stuff. It's like, I don't know, some of the crap that's being really pushed by, you know, labels and the mainstream audience is just, it wouldn't have done it for me if I was, you know, 16 or 14 today.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the same thing. And there's always going to be an audience for rock and roll, but it's like, now you got to dig and find it.
Right. And with the attention span of kids these days, they're not going to look for it like we used to. You know, they're just going to, They're gonna listen to whatever is closest to what they're looking for. That's, you know, all over the radio, all over TV, and all over, you know, whatever is pushed and promoted. You know, whatever YouTube video is trending at the time is the song that they'll get into. But they really need to, you know, labels won't touch rock and metal bands right now. It's sad, because, you know, I think that the major labels need to get back into selling rock music again because it's the most loyal fan base of any genre of music.
Absolutely.
You know, the Ariana Grandes come and go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get all used up, they disappear. So
when you're not pretty anymore and, you know.
Yeah, or just, you know, it's just Miley Cyrus, you know, Hannah Montana, well, all that stuff just comes and goes. And boys don't want to listen to that stuff.
Nope.
You know, they don't want to listen to girls talk about how they don't need their boyfriends anymore. We've had enough of that shit. it's time to put an edge back into things, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. Being masculinity or being a man is such a bad word, and such a, you know, these days it's so socially unacceptable to be, you know, to be a man, like to be sensitive to everybody else's views of sensitivity and you know, feminism and all that stuff. And it's just, there's room for everybody's complaints and there's solutions for everybody's complaints. We can't just pay attention to a couple of people that have problems or think they have problems. It's every single person is different. So,
yeah, there's plenty of people that need that outlet for rock and roll because, like I said, you know, that kept me focused and I know a million other people that would say the same thing. You know, there's something
music
about that.
It is therapy. It can cure. It's so powerful. I don't think that, because even my kids don't understand how powerful music is. It is not just, you know, it's not like a baseball game. It's music is like almost like air or food. It's food for the brain.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a sixth. That word is so hard to say. S-I-X-T-H. Sixth sense.
I'm with you on that. No, it's so vital. But
it's very important that people have something with an edge that they can relate to that can help with their problems, their frustrations, depression, anxiety, problems with friends, problems with parents, problems with all, like anything, school, work, whatever. There's all kinds of problems out there. And a lot of people give up under the strain of that. And they become lazy or depressed. And this is one of the cures for that that is being overlooked. And I'll die trying to get that to stop. I want this to come around full circle. It's going to come around whether it's with my band or someone else's band. There's going to be a band that comes around. And
we'll keep fighting the good battle because on a side note, what my other profession is, I'm actually a therapist. So I work with kids.
So then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know it very, very well.
I would love to be a therapist.
There's so many kids that just live for music, and that's all they got. And you know what? It's super important to them.
Right. So you know. If I wasn't doing this, I would be definitely getting an education on being a therapist because I talk to a lot of kids online, and I've been doing that for years. And I get a lot of, you know, really positive comments about changes that have taken place in their lives and how, you know, how music changes, you know, the horrible things about living in 2019, you know. It's not easy. And and I'll say, you know, growing up, I think I had it easier than kids do today. I think things were a lot better back then. And it's not just like, oh, I'm an old man saying, back in my day, we used to. I don't think that the changes in time have been improvements as they were for us in the 80s, you know.
Yeah,
my dad didn't have what I had, but it was an improvement.
Yep.
Kids, what they have now is a step down from what we had in the 80s and 90s. So that's the problem. I think things might be progressing technology-wise, but it's not necessarily an improvement.
I agree. The thing we're seeing, you know, in the line of work I do is kids are just overloaded with so much that, you know, their brains that are still developing can't process it, you know, whether it's music or anything, you know, social media. It's just like they're overloaded. They don't have a moment to be a kid.
Right. They cannot focus. They cannot stay focused.
It's
and
sad.
They have so much being thrown at them. One thing is, you know, thrown at them, and then that thing is improved and thrown at them, and then it's improved again, and it's just too much of something that's not that great is not a good thing. It's not an improvement.
It's just all rapid fire today, and it's unfortunate.
And there's only so many things your phone can do for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell your cell phone to play a song for you, but, I mean, it's like, come on, put the phone down and go run around the block, you know? Go do something, I don't know. I mean, I just see it where I am in LA and the kids around here, there's just no one is outside playing, and it's 80 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's outside. They're all inside playing video games. And they just don't know how to focus, and a lot of them are having trouble figuring out what it is that they're passionate about that they're going to want to do when they get older. So if technology is something that people are relying on, it's not something that's going to help, you know, in the future to find passion for something that you have to work at. Because your phone doesn't make you work. Your phone does everything for you.
Yep. So it's actually interesting that you're taking the conversation this route, because it kind of covers a couple of the questions that I wanted to ask you.
Okay. I'll just let you answer. I tend to run at the mouth.
Oh,
just
no.
Go
no,
ahead,
no,
ask me
I
the
really
questions.
Like it. It's flowing naturally into the things that I had written down, but feel free to go wherever you're going, because I'm enjoying it.
Okay, great.
The one thing that I was curious about, you know, I've had this idea in my head for a long time. It's, you know, just a personal idea. You know, I think there's places throughout the country, you know, kids get bored, teenagers get bored, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are.
If they can get bored in Los Angeles, believe me, they're getting bored in Alabama and Nebraska.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
But I've always felt that, you know, us Pennsylvania-born folk have a very kind of odd approach to using their free time and harnessing energy in different ways. And, I think...
It's the East Coast mentality.
Yeah, it comes to, you know, what you did with CKY and then how it tied into the films back then. And, you know, that sparked a whole, like, generation of kids, you know, just doing things differently. And for me, it was just kind of like that shit was always going on in Pennsylvania. You guys just brought it to the forefront, whether it was the music or the videos or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess my question is, like, how did Pennsylvania, growing up the Philly, Chester area, and, you know, I'm an hour north of where you grew up, how did that influence the projects that you've done throughout your career in various forms?
I guess because I just adapted, you know, to the East Coast mentality, is that you don't sit on your ass. You know, you don't get an allowance without working for it. Of course, back before the internet, things were much more hands-on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Socializing is no longer available to a lot of kids. I think that the internet and, you know, mobile devices and all that stuff have kept kids from interacting socially, physically together one-on-one. My daughter has sleepovers every weekend, so she kind of gets it from that, you know. I try to encourage them to make plans, to turn off the phones, to go see their friends and talk, find things that they enjoy, find out what it is they want to do with their lives. I don't know necessarily the differences. I mean, the only differences between what I would consider East Coast mentality and the rest of the country is that you don't take people's shit, you know, and that can be a bad thing as well, because people are so ready to not take people's shit that they're maybe sometimes unwilling to listen to what the other person is saying. And that was something that I think interfered while we were doing what we were doing. But basically, all the good stuff that came out of it was just out of wanting to have fun and just being edgy and not getting along with the rest of who was in school, we were in school with. You know, there's a lot of, you know, if I look up somebody I went to school with today online, they don't look like me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they're bald and they've let themselves go and they're not doing anything they like. It's, I don't know, it's just, you need to be able to believe in yourself, you need to not care about what other people think, and you need to be confident. And I think that's all. I think that's all it is. It really is hard to get to that place where you really don't care what other people think. You know, you can lie to yourself and you can tell other people that you don't care what other people think, but then there's that group of people that always say that, but they, of course they care. They straighten up their house before someone comes over, or they fix their hair before they go inside Walmart or something. Fuck that. Fuck it. You know, be who you are and do what you want. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, what do you have to lose? You know, you only, death is coming, you know, and you got to make the most out of why you're here. Stop questioning it. Just do it.
When you're really comfortable with yourself, that's where you really find happiness. I mean, if you're
right.
trying to cater to other people, you're just going to be fucking miserable all the time.
Right. Yeah, the people that I've met over the years, comfortable in a conversation, and that goes for me as well. It took me a long time. I mean, I have some minor social anxieties, you know, it's really difficult for me to meet a new group of people, but then, you know, I get over that quickly and then, you know, I can be myself, but that's improving. But I think a lot of people lack that. They lack mm-hmm. ever being comfortable with even some of their closest friends, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows where we can take it and how we can improve it. And, but you know, I'm going to do my part. So,
well, I dig your mission for sure. I mean, you know, anything to just have outlets for people. And it seems like that's where you're going with 96 Fitter Beings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you released campaign, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of months ago, the physical copies and everything. And I got mine and I appreciate that. I really, really dig the record. It's good to have that sound, some new stuff on my stereo again. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
just a fun album to make. Yeah.
Yeah. You had mentioned, you know, the reception's been good. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
About the production?
The reception of just how.
Oh, the reception.
You know, yeah.
Just everything's just been positive. Yeah. You know? And I think it took even people that weren't expecting it to be good. It took them by surprise. But, I mean, ultimately, I think the only thing that concerns me is that I'm happy with it. Because if I'm happy with it, then there's going to be people that are going to find it and like it. Everything has an audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good at what you do and you know you're good at what you do, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm bad at. I don't spend time on the things I'm bad at. I spend time on the things that I'm good at, and the harder I push myself, the happier I become with what I've done, and then I get it out there, and then the reception is exactly how I feel about it. So basically, being a musician and creating music that you would want to hear is the key, I think. I think a lot of bands back in the day used to make music that was primarily just to make money, and mm-hmm. they would listen to what other bands were doing and jump on that bandwagon until that bandwagon crashed, and then they would all disappear. So if you're doing something primarily for money and you don't have any passion in it, it's going to show. And it's not going to last. So that's why I don't think it'll be very easy for, like, Limp Bizkit to come back, because that music wasn't something that had substance other than to get drunk at a cover band show, and it's just a quick fix. You know, we're not looking for a Band-Aid, we're looking for a cure. So, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's really hard to put into words. That's what I say about the sixth sense thing, is that music is an expression that you can't quite describe what you get out of it. I can't describe what I get out of it. It's very inspiring, and it's motivating, and it's therapeutic.
It's very much so. I find myself to be a complete music dork, and that's just because it heals me.
Mm-hmm. It's very healing. Definitely. And not in a superstitious way.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, some people look to religion to be healing. I find that a bit superstitious. That's their choice, and that's fine with me. I don't have any problem with that. Whatever gets them going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's music. And music, I've been given that gift, so I use it.
Music is like a religious experience. You know, if you ever, I know you know this, if you go to a show that you really connect with, I mean, it's fucking moving, like on so many
mm-hmm.
levels.
Absolutely.
With you days after you leave that show.
Absolutely.
That happened so many times.
Mm-hmm. And growing up, there were so many hardships and problems that I had to deal with that I decided I wanted to be something that, you know, is opposing of that. And I think I've been put here to help people from, you know, I don't care if it's 1,000 or 50 million. As long as I can relate to people that have those problems and can find the solution in what we do, that's the best feeling for me.
That's pretty awesome.
It's better than anything else.
That's refreshing for me to hear. You know, we've talked to a lot of bands over the last 15 years on shows, and like, I don't always hear that approach.
Mm-hmm.
I actually rarely hear that approach. So for me, that's super refreshing.
And it's not just a soundbite, it's absolute truth.
Yeah.
I think about it every day. I talk about it every day. I talk to people individually online every day about it. And the fan base is growing, and people are starting to realize what it's about. And I enjoy the journey from the beginning, the middle, to the finish line. You know, people run a race, they want to just get to the end. But I like when the gun goes off and you take off, you know.
So
I like every step of that process.
So what
I like the failure, even the failures, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be failures. There's going to be success and there's going to be failures on the way. And I look forward to both of them.
What is the next step in the race for 96 Bitter Beings? Where are you going with that?
Just to find creative ways to promote it and to get more people aware of it, and keep writing and keep recording, having the word spread, playing out, playing shows, getting on a tour, going back over to Europe, making videos, just, you know, everything. You know, I'm in the middle of trying to design our first official t-shirt, and I have a really cool idea for it, and that's, you know, a fun project for me. Everything about it is fun for me. And if, you know, if there's a disappointment every now and then, I go with it. I don't read comments. I don't read the good comments. I don't read the bad comments. I don't focus on what is said on the internet anymore, because I realized why things are said on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually what people write down and post is not really how they feel. So it's not really worth looking at. It's kind of like somebody takes a shit and they want to show you before they flush it. I don't want to see that. You know, it's just not worth it. I mean, it's great to be loved and it's great to be hated. As long as people aren't bored. I think being bored is the worst thing that someone could be. But I mean, I don't ever, if I feel that we're working on something boring, I'll stop it right then and there. So
it's been a,
you know, that's in it.
It's been a fun ride as a fan to kind of, you know, there was, you know, such a build up with CKY and everything, and then, you know, that was at a different time where the internet was, and you know, we're in 2019, and you know, I jumped on with the Indiegogo campaign with the crowdfunding for Campaign's record and stuff. So I've been, you know, following the progress the last couple of years, and it's been fun, you know, watching you kind of take this back to a grassroots thing again and building it up from the bottom. You know,
yeah.
And whether it's, you know, live videos or just check-ins and stuff, it's really cool to see someone, you know, kind of go back to their roots and take it on the way they want to take it on.
Right. I'm lucky enough to have already a built-in fan base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I would like to know what the process would be like if I decided to start for the first time today. I mean, that would probably be even more harder and possibly even more fun. But I'm in a unique position where I already, you know, I'm not starting from the very beginning. I'm, you know, I'm kind of halfway in. And when I left the other band, we were halfway down.
Yep.
And we had already been up, and it was going down. And I don't like to be a part of something that isn't going to get bigger.
It's got to be challenging, too, because your fan base has to have expectations then, too, though. I mean, you may have that core fan base there for what you're
And they should
with.
Have expectations.
Yeah.
They should have expectations. I've been disappointed by a lot of my favorite bands over the years for different reasons. But if you know, I my age hasn't you know, dulled my edge. It hasn't dulled my quest for, you know, writing what I write or getting the best out of my style, and I have so much more to do and many ways to keep it fresh and interesting. And as long as I'm interested and the band's interested, because I'm not very easily interested. I could walk away from a car crash. You know, I get bored very easily, and I think that that's one of the reasons why I'm able to keep what I do fresh, because I don't want to bore myself.
And that goes back to, you know, just being, you know, what you were talking about before, being comfortable in your own skin and doing stuff for you and not trying to please people. And it's going to be authentic. It's going to be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's nice, it's nice to meet people that enjoy what I do, because that's one of the best things that we could have in common, you know, right off the bat.
So you went to the fan base to do the, you know, the Indiegogo crowdfunding thing for this this record. Was that a positive experience? Because we've talked to bands on the show before, and I've had very mixed reviews. It doesn't have to be Indiegogo, any of the platforms, whether, you know, there's a bunch out there. But any crowdfunding kind of support for a record, did you have an overall favorable experience? Is that something you do again?
Well, let me tell you what one of my weaknesses is. I have a tendency to announce projects years before they're ready. And I've been doing it forever. I tend to imagine something getting done. Oh, 10 songs? Yeah, no problem. I have it done in 6 months. I always forget that there's all kinds of things that happen. Life happens, you know. Death happens. People have different schedules, you know. Currently, I'm without a car because I got somebody totaled my car, you know. There's so many things that can put things on hold that I tend to forget about that. So the only disappointing thing, the only thing I'm disappointed in about myself and our campaign was that I wasn't able to get it done as quickly as I probably let on. And also the amount of product that I had to ship out myself. That's mm-hmm. not easy. That's never easy. But
that
it seems like
sense.
A piece of cake at the time, you know?
Yeah.
In words, on paper, it looks great. When you get down to it and it's time to dig into whatever it is, it's not always easy. And I'm always concerned that everybody gets what they wanted and what they paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and that's kind of been a common theme, you know, with any bands that did have any frustrations with that. You know, it was kind of the time, they didn't realize how time consuming it was, especially with the shipping, like you mentioned. And yeah, I mean, just you want to deliver a product that's, you know, exactly what you want in a certain amount of time, but then you want it to be perfect, so it probably is going to take longer. I think mm-hmm. people need to understand that too. This is art. You're not, you know, creating something that's already there. You're not replicating something. It's art.
Right. And in the time since the campaign ended until today, we've recorded about 52 songs. So that's about 5 albums worth of material. The problem with that is that we didn't intend to release it all.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that material was for individual people. So it was a lot of work. Of course, it was a lot of fun, too. But, you know, some people are impatient, and that's fine. I'm impatient, too. But next time, you know, I learned from that mistake. So I should have learned from it many times before. But now with this and having fulfilled all, we're like 92% 92% of the promises of the campaign have been fulfilled. And I'm happy with that. I'm pleased with that. It's taken time. I'm glad that nobody died and didn't get what they wanted in time. So, yeah, next time we're going to try to be more realistic with what we can do and how long it will take.
Well, it's a damn good record, so I didn't mind waiting, I'll tell you that, at least for me.
And the next one is just something on a whole other level. They're comparable, but they're different styles. And I've already sequenced the album about 100 times because I keep writing new songs, and then I have to figure out which song I want to bump off of it, and then we get left with these songs that are left over that are still good, and it's like, should we release a double album? It's like, who does double albums? I mean, the record company that I'm going to be working with has been really pushing me to do as much material as I can, because the more songs you have, the more, you know, streamers you're going to get.
Yep.
But I'm also still in love with the physical format, so turning Synergy Restored into a double CD might be an interesting concept. But there's still a retail, very small retail business out there that'll carry CDs and records, so a lot of stores don't want to take on a double CD from a band that's just putting out their first album. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll figure it out.
Well, I'm not going to ask you a time frame. I'm not going to put you on the spot. So everyone just keep an eye out for when it's ready. It'll come.
Yeah. The ironic thing is that it's done. But I said that before. Then I went a couple weeks ago, recorded a new song that I like better than another new song. So we might just have to put them all out. I mean, because it's very easy to record nowadays. You set up the drums, record them, and then you have the click track and the Pro Tools. You do your tracks really quickly. You don't have to rewind tape or run out of tracks or anything like that. You can just pile and pile and pile, take things out, you know, automate everything. sequence everything easily, master everything easily. It's just a lot different and a lot cheaper, and you can get more done that way. So maybe the album format may be part of the past, and maybe putting out 40 songs at once could be a new way to do it. But you don't want to give people too much at one time, you know.
Overload. We have enough overload.
Yeah. If you set up a buffet for one person, they're not going to eat everything. Yeah.
Very true.
So it's like when they're listening to the 28th song, they're going to shut it off. So see how I'm kind of like going through back and forth in my brain, double CD, one CD, 10 songs, 50 songs. We'll figure it out.
We'll be there for when it's ready, man.
Sweet. I appreciate
so
that.
Speaking of records,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know, mm-hmm. you know you've had multiple bands, you know, multiple full-length records over the years. What would be your top five records that you have had your hands in that you are most proud of, and a brief reason why for each one of them?
Okay. Number one, I'd have to say Carver City.
I love that one.
I think Carver City was the album that nailed what I heard in my head that we should sound like. And I think the writing is really good on there. I think it's a bit much. Knowing that what's on the tape, knowing what's in the mix, I can hear it without it even being there. So it's a better album for me than it is probably for some fans, because it's very overlayered, and a lot of the guitars aren't as present as they should be. But I have a rough mix of the album that sounds much better than the final mix. So I hear Carver City in my head. I never play it,
mm-hmm.
but I have it in my head, and I know what it sounds like and how it makes me feel, and I think we nailed it on that. The second one I would have to say is Galactic Prey by Foreign Objects.
Mm-hmm.
Because the writing on there is really good. The performances are really good. There's a couple things that bug me, but I think that's good. There's just some mistakes on there that we left in on purpose just because we didn't want it to sound so sanitized. I really like the writing on there. I like the songs. I like the subject matter. I like the artwork. And that's an album that I listen to. So that one is number two. Number three, I'd have to say Tactical by World Under Blood. Because I had been dying to do a death metal record. For years, I wanted to do the fastest death metal record. And since then, I've learned faster doesn't always mean better, but I just love the speed, and I love how quickly you have to write and play for that kind of music, for that speed. And again, the writing, the guitar solos by Luke and James Murphy are impressive. I like everything about it. I think the vocals are good. I think the artwork is good. I have fond memories of recording with the guys. And, you know, a couple little snags here and there with the budget. And we did drums at a studio, a famous musician's name. I'm not going to use his name, but we did it at his studio, and he kind of ripped me off. But, I mean, I haven't thought about that in years, so obviously it doesn't bug me that much anymore. But Tactical is a fantastic record. I think that anybody that heard it, I guess I think I proved my point, and I proved it to me. And I want to make another one of those, so they're really fun to make. How many did you want? Five?
Five, yeah.
Okay, so that's number three. Number four, I would say Volume 1, because it was very developmental. It turned out very different than any album I would do today, because it was recorded in segments over many, many years. And none of the two songs sound alike. And that kind of songwriting where you, before the trial and error of my writing, before I figured out what works and what doesn't work, I was more impressed by what we were doing back then than I was, that I would be now. So it's a very innocent album that sounds good. I think it sounds good. I think the bookended CKY albums, the first one and the last one, sound good. The stuff in between doesn't sound very good to me. I don't really listen to any of them, but I listen to Galactic Prey. I love listening to that record.
Nice.
And number five, I would say, is probably Acoustified. Because the idea of an acoustic renditions of songs that not only started out maybe kind of acoustic and ballady, but acoustic versions of death metal songs is something that you don't hear too much of. And it allowed me to get the songs through clearer and to sing them better and just to, you know, to prove to myself and to anybody that loves the songs that I did on there that, you know, they're more than they are in their electric state. Mm-hmm. There's more to it than how they were recorded as a band. My only regret is that I should have put drums on there. Should have put drums on it.
I think it's a really interesting mix you picked there. I really like how, you know, kind of your favorites are just very eclectic and kind of all over the map of the different styles you've done over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I have so many styles. I wish that I could do everything under the moniker 96 Bitter Beings, but I don't want to confuse the hell out of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To play a death metal song, blasting full speed, and then play Close Yet Far would just be, like, bizarre. It could be something new, you know. It could be something interesting, but I don't think that it would, I don't think that, you know, it would be the best idea in a live situation. So I think it would be kind of schizophrenic. So was that five?
Yeah, you nailed it. I appreciate it. I know that's difficult to do sometimes. So I got just a couple more questions, if that's okay for you.
Okay.
So, you know, you kind of said it right off the bat tonight. It's something I've always thought. You know, you just have this sound. There's certain bands, you know, throughout the history of rock and roll that just have that signature sound that you can hear 2 seconds of the song, whether it's a song that's brand new that you've never heard or a song you've heard a million times, and you're like, that's that person or that's that band. And you're one of those people, and I truly mean that. I mean, if I had to rate, you know, the top five most unique sounds, I'd throw you in there.
I'd love that.
Where the hell did you ever, between your vocals and your guitar playing, like, no, there's no band, like, you know, especially doing radio, people will ask me, you know, well, what does that band sound like, or what genre are they in, or whatever. You know, and I hate pigeonholing things, but, like, you can't classify a Darren Millar record at all. And where did that come from?
It came from being influenced by artists that you also can't classify. I like, growing up, I listen to all kinds of music, and there's things that I like about all kinds of music, and there's things that I don't like about all kinds of music. Basically, listening to the Bee Gees and ABBA and Carly Simon and the Beatles and the Monkees and than listening to Metallica and Ozzy and Malaya Rage and Malevolent Creation and Death and Cancer and Pestilence and Malevolent Creation. I mean, taking the what I love about those bands and kind of squeezing it all into one band, I think is what happened.
Wish more people would do that, for real.
I do too. I mean, there's
it
there's
interesting.
Yeah, and there are a handful of interesting bands. The problem is that the industry sees that kind of unique thing about that artist as a bad thing commercially. The industry wants to sign familiar sounding things because they've had success with it before. It's very hard to take a chance. It's very hard for them because there's money at stake. It's very hard. Well, it was very hard. They're gone now, but it was very hard for them to take a chance on anything that they didn't, that they couldn't relate with something that was already successful. But you had bands like Korn that came out with the new sound, and then there was a million Korns.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's the same deal, you know. I just like to challenge myself, and I think that people are a lot of bands are happier with their music before I would be.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be one of the things as well.
It shines through. I truly mean it, Darren. Like that.
Thank you. I appreciate
my,
it.
My attraction to the projects you've been involved in, the bands you've been involved in, has always just been the fact that it's going to give me something different. I can't, you know, sometimes you hear a band, you really like it, and you're waiting for the new record, so you try to find something like them. It's never as good. It's just like
mm-hmm.
anything you touch, there's no point in even looking because it's not out there, and it's never
right.
going to be.
No. And then so you kind of rely on the band.
Yeah.
That one band. I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm a fan just as much as I am a part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's
and,
yeah.
Yeah. That's just, you know, the passion. It's an obsession. It's a healthy obsession. It's a good habit, I think.
So since you are a fan, one record you currently are listening to a lot that you think listeners should check out, and then one record you'd bring to a desert island if you were stranded and you only had one album on you.
Oh, God. One album I've been listening to. I've been listening to a lot of Malevolent Creation because I'm in the process of becoming a drummer, so I drum along with those albums. So I listen to them a lot, especially a lot of the old stuff with Brett as the singer,
mm-hmm.
who passed away in June.
Yep,
he was a good friend of mine and. Knowing that he'll never be on a new record is, you know, I always look to Malevolent Creation to be the band that puts out something new for me. And they're never going to sound the same again. And it's not because he's fired, it's because he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that is devastating. But pretty much I've been listening to them. Album I would take on a desert island, probably Galactic Prey, Foreign Objects.
Nice.
Because if I'm going to be alone, I might as well be alone with other guys that I was playing with.
I dig it. So,
you know.
If people are interested in checking out 96 Bitter Beings, if they haven't already,
mm-hmm.
where's the best place to find your music and follow you guys and all that good stuff?
We have Facebook, 96BB Music. I have my own personal Facebook where I tend to post more every day, and then I share it on the music Facebook. I'm not into Instagram. Somebody runs my Instagram. I don't really go on there much at all. Actually, never. Twitter, I don't do yet. Working on it. I know these things are necessary to some extent. I just don't have any interest in them. Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, and YouTube are the ones that I would go to.
And the Records Campaign, for those of you that weren't keeping up with that, but
It's two
definitely check
words,
it out.
CAMPPAIN. It's my little play on words.
So I got
And
one last question. Oh, go ahead.
okay. Oh, I was gonna say there's a handful of physical copies left that you can hit me up on Facebook and ask if you want one, you could ask me about it. I don't know if I'm gonna do a second pressing. Because it was ass breaking to send out the 1,000 or 1,500 that I did. So, yeah, that's it.
So, we had started the discussion around a lot of things with, mental health and just society today. And part of this podcast, obviously, I started the radio show because of music, and we just started doing the podcast in December, so the podcast is relatively new. One of the spins we're kind of putting on the podcast is, music and mental health is a big spotlight to it. So, you've already touched on it, but from anyone I've run into over the years in bands, everyone thinks that being in bands and traveling the world and playing shows is glamorous, and yeah, parts of it is, but it seems like there's a lot of isolation, a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
It leads to a lot of things that, can wear on people, anyone, no matter how healthy they are. And
Oh
I
yeah.
kind of wanted to get your perspective of mental
Oh
health and
God.
music.
Touring, I don't like it. I've never liked traveling, and I don't know why. I really don't. I'm a feared flyer. I'm so afraid of flying, and I've probably done it 300 times. I like traveling on the bus, but it gets cramped and it gets very claustrophobic. It gets lonely. You have 10 other people on the bus with you, so you're gonna smell things and see things that you don't like, and you're going to hear things that you don't like, and there's arguments are going to break out. And basically, I hated days off. I wanted to play 7 shows a week, because days off in the middle of nowhere is exactly what it sounds like. Who wants to be stranded in, Lincoln, Nebraska on a day off when you don't know anyone and you don't know where anything is, and you're parked in a Walmart parking lot for 24 hours? I mean, does anything sound glamorous so far?
No, not one bit.
It gets depressing, and that's why drugs and alcohol play a big part, because it helps you deal with all that excess time when you're not on stage. The show is such a very small part of touring, and people don't understand that. The glamorous part is, getting up the 2 minutes before you get up on that stage, till and the 2 minutes after you get up, off the stage, and then maybe a half an hour to an hour to socialize with the fans, and then you're back on the bus and off you go to the next place. But I mean, really, out of your 24-hour day, you get 2 hours, 2.5 hours of what it's all for. So glamorous, it is not. It is not. Unless you're Rolling Stones and you can fly to every show.
What would you say to a young person that, it's going to be their first tour and they don't know what they're getting themselves into? What would you suggest is the best way to keep your head kind of in check?
My suggestion, and this is the advice I wish somebody had given me, is no matter how uncomfortable you feel, do it. Take it to the end. Just take it until the very end. If you're broken down on the highway, get someone out to fix it. Make sure you have money for unexpected things, unexpected occurrences, flat tires, bad engine, stolen gear, broken trailers, things happen. If you feel homesick, fight it, because it's a really nice feeling when you're on the last date of the tour and you did your best and you're finished and you can get a break. I'm a studio guy. And most people, some people like touring, but it's not, what people like about what bands like about touring is very unhealthy for me. You know, they like the groupies and the drugs and drinking and that stuff that I've taken part in, but I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I always regret it. And it got so bad that it had to be one of the reasons why, if I didn't start a family, break, I would have done it to, I'd be dead. So, I'd say just be prepared for unexpected things. Don't ignore your feelings of negativity. Just deal with them. Take it to the end, and you'll see how proud of yourself you'll be.
I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Yeah, it was really good talking to you, and I just want to say two things to you quick. You know, again, it's weird how time flies, and mm-hmm. you know, I grew up listening to you guys, and between CKY, the videos and the music, it kind of created who I was as a young teenager, not having direction. It's pretty cool, you know, all these years later, I'm 33 now, to chat with you a little bit about the things you've been doing and some of the stuff I'm passionate about as well. So I really appreciate mm-hmm. that. And two, I just want to say, you know, I know you've moved on to things, and CKY, I know, is obviously still operating. To me, you know, there's a lot of bands over the years that, you know, get new members or members leave. That's a band to me that you're never going to recreate the sound without Darren. So I just want you to know, you know, I wish you the best with 96 Bitter Beings, because that's where my heart's at right now.
Oh, thank you. I think it's been proven.
Yeah.
Any band can be active, you know. I could get this end up together, one of my first bands. I could get this end up together and play across the street. But that doesn't mean there's going to be anybody there to listen to it. You can do, any band can exist. It's just whether or not, you know, it is what it was, and it is nowhere near what it was. And I don't think I need to say that. I don't think I need to tell people that. I think that it speaks for itself.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I wish you the best of luck. And for those of you listening on the podcast, you know, check them out, 96 Bitter Beings. You know, you heard Darren, all the places you can find it. But it's definitely worth a listen if you're a fan of anything Darren's been involved in. I think it's right where you want to pick up and get on to the new project and the new band. Yeah, thank you, man.
Thanks,
I really,
Josh.
Really appreciate it.
Hi, this is Darren Miller from 96 Bitter Beings, and you're listening to Pirate Radio After Dark.
So there you have it, my interview with Darren Miller from last night. Again, really appreciate it, Darren. Thank you. And please go check out 96 Bitter Beings. The record is Campaign. You heard him where you can find it. And please check it out. It's a really good record, especially if you're a fan of anything the guy's done. And best of luck, man, with the band. And, you know, I really hope you make it out to the East Coast so we can see you live. So with that said, that was our first phone interview on the podcast, still, you know, kind of working out best ways of doing things. You know, the audio wasn't as good as I would have liked it to be. So I'm going to experiment with that for the next couple, phone interviews that we're doing. Luckily, we tend to do most of them in person, but Darren's in LA, so that was the best we could do. Another thing too, subscribe to the podcast. I can't tell you enough. It's the best way to stay up to date. We are going to get pumping out a lot more episodes soon, and that's your best way of getting notified. If you like it, leave good comments. We appreciate feedback. And, you know, as we typically do at the end of the show, leave you with my weird band, just like this podcast and just like the radio show. We stick to no format. We're called the Bedroom Invaders. It's my fiance and I. We do it just for fun. If you want to check us out, I'm going to play a song here in just a second from our latest record, Beyond the Veil, Beneath the Mask. That's my beagle barking. Bugle the Beagle. A very fitting name. I apologize for that. She's normally completely quiet when you record these things. Anyway, she's a beagle. She's loud to howl. That's what they do. Beyond the Veil, Beneath the Mask is our new record. You can download all of our records for free on Bandcamp. If you like them, feel free to donate. There is a pay what you want option. We also have merch on there for sale. But all you have to do is go to our Bandcamp, which is located at thebedroominvaders.bandcamp.com. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to play a track off that to wrap up the show. And then just a reminder, you know, if you are interested in the other half of this show, the part that's been running for 15 years, we do a radio show every Friday, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on iHeartRadio. So if you download the app or go on iHeartRadio, when you are there, all you have to do is search for the radio station WXLV. That's the radio station we're on in iHeartRadio. Again, that's WXLV. And the show's on every Friday, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always do an album spotlight. It's a new music show, so we feature up-and-coming artists and records that are coming out that are worth our time. Just like this, we stick to no genre. So there you have it. That is episode number 5 in the books. I appreciate you tuning in. And again, I can't thank Darren enough for taking time out last night to come on the show. There you have it. And we'll be back on shortly with another segment and a new podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. And you guys have a great night.